Hello, hello, hello.
I had heard that while you were here in New York, you carried a guitar around with you quite often, just in case you ran into a jam session.
Yeah.
Did you find any?
Oh, you mean since I've been here?
Yeah.
Yeah, the police came and broke it up. It was down on 26th. What was that, 29th? Oh, no, it's down on 26th. 26th Street. The police came later on.
Any musicians with any reputation or just guys you've known from before?
Oh, there's so much we haven't seen. It's not sure. Oh, Charlie. No, he's always welcome.
Yeah. Do you think if you had sort of presented the same kind of act that you did in England over here in America, it would have had as much impact?
Probably so. What we do in the village, like, who's this, you know, he's this, like playing just to survive, you know, we didn't have time to look around, you know, try to get nice little gigs. And before that, I was playing behind other people, so I wasn't really trying, you know, to do anything.
What sort of, you know, gave you the idea for going out on your own the way you did?
Well, I don't know, you just get tired after a while, you know. You just get tired of playing in the background all the time.
What's the reaction been so far? Have you done the Monkees concerts yet?
We did about seven of them now, I guess.
What kind of reaction is it?
Sometimes they don't want to know, sometimes they do. It's all right, though, you know, it's just, we're just being exposed right now.
Yeah.
The only thing of that is that they don't advertise nobody but the Monkees. Mm-hmm. And nobody, they don't even know that you're going to be on the show unless... You know, they come to the gate right then and see you. Which is a very, very bad scene, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that too much at all, you know.
Yeah.
Regardless of whose tour it is, you know.
Right, yeah, I think the other people on the building there some credit to.
Yeah, they should just at least mention the name. You know, it only takes about a third of a second to say somebody's name.
Right. I know your performance at Monterey, was setting the guitar on fire and everything. What is that sort of showmanship, or is it something that you're trying to express that you can't do with the music? Or?
No, not necessarily. No, I just happened to do it then. I did that twice. You know, so.
First time it happened was in an accidentally guitar caught on fire.
Yeah.
That just
Oh, and bass on it that way. Mm-hmm. It's much easier.
Do you
find yourself playing melody with the bass at all?
Yeah, I find I play more guitar, like, everybody tells me, but, and you've got a better feeling of rhythms, like, if you come from guitar.
One thing, did you have any idea what kind of group you wanted?
Slightly, yeah, we didn't want one like anybody else, you know, like, we didn't have too much feeling for organ or anything like that, you know, because all the organ players, to me, they all do the same things, you know.
Yeah. Have you heard the guy who plays for the Doors?
Yeah, I heard him. I don't know what everybody's screaming about, you know. He sounds like an organ player to me. It's like getting, they got some organ players in England, you know, it's really good. We got a cat named Brian Auburn. It's out of sight, you know, when it comes to organ.
But had you decided on a trio, or was it just sort of the musicians that were available that seemed to be the best combination?
No, it was more like, it was more like a trio thing because, because in that case we would have brought the other cats over, you know. But we just wanted like a trio, the smallest number possible.
Why the smallest number?
I don't know, you know, so you won't get in each other's way. Because as loud as we play, you know, we play very, very loud. And if you had any more instruments and you didn't add them up right, you know, it would have been this would sound like just an ordinary loud band.
When you first started playing together, what were some of the numbers you did?
Well, they were all mainly original material. That's the time we were sort of rehearsing, you know.
Who was doing most of the writing?
Jimmy wasn't, you know. We still is now, but like through working together, Novus writing, Novus got a song, maybe for the next B-sides, next album. And I started writing now as well, you know. We're doing a few Dylan things. But it was mainly original stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And now we find that, well, it, let's see, 99% is original material.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that you all sort of had the same feeling for music when you got together?
Were
there any conflicting ideas that you had to work out?
Oh, yeah, but, like, not as much as we thought, because, like, when Jimmy arrived in England, he was very high up in his own bag, which at that time was the blues scene.
Right.
And I wasn't prepared for that.
What was your background in music before you joined Jimmy?
I was working with a band in England called Georgie Fame, Blues Fame.
Oh, yeah.
And I was getting very up into sort of jazz, pseudo-jazz.
Right, yeah, I saw him at the Marquee when he did thing with the jazz band.
Oh, with Harry South.
Right, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Went into stuff with the LP. I like that, but it was sort of, even though I still like that sort of music, it's not doing anything that hasn't been done before, you know. And I always thought it was time to sort of find a new... something new to do. And I'd always work with sort of brass as well, you know. When we got together with Jimmy, working as a three-piece, I was prejudiced. I didn't want it to be a three-piece, you know. My immediate thing was sort of, get a hammered organ and maybe something would happen. But really now, you know, I couldn't possibly think of adding anybody else, you know, really.
What would you say as a drummer your function in the group is?
Well, it's not as a timekeeper anymore. Uh-huh. It's like, it's a very free thing. It's like, on the sort of free-form jazz thing, this is the only comparison I can make. Mm-hmm. Like, the bass player plays is the anchor man, more so than the drummer. Like, they reverse roles. And the drummer's got to have time. But, like, working a three-piece group, you've got to overplay to a certain extent. Really, possibly, I don't play with as much taste as I should do. But you find when you go and work with another band after working with a three-piece, because you've got to play so much in a three-piece, you quieten down.
Right.
If I go and play with brass now, you quiet down and you listen to other people more so.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas working, you know, with Jimmy, and especially with the volume,
you
got to play so loud, man.
Yeah. Has anyone come up with anything to amplify drums?
I've tried it. In England, there's a few cats that have tried it. It's very difficult, man, because there's people that say if you shove contact mics inside drums and things. I don't believe in all this, you know. I mean, apparently I'm loud anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to amplify it if I could get, you know, a decent sound.
Right.
But man, every time I try, I've tried it a few times, you know, with mics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been very tinny, and the reproduction has been anything like drums. It's not like a lot of old tin cans.
Mm-hmm. Are you doing any kind of jazz drumming in the group now?
No, man, you play what you feel, really. See, even now on stage, Jimmy's still playing his bang, and I'm still playing this little rock and roll bit there. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm still playing what I feel, you know. Mm-hmm. But really, it's three kinds of music. That's why we don't want to be, you know, categorized. Mm-hmm. There's three kinds of music, and it makes the sound that we've got.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Jimmy, if you're playing change, I work with Noel and Mitch.
No, exactly. It's, you know, it was about the same. Because, you know, I like blues and all that. I don't necessarily, you know, always play that Missouri blues. It's all right. It changes every time you write a new song, though, you know.
Yeah. Do you feel that being, you know, living in England and being over there has had any change on your music? On the way you write or the way you play or just your attitude?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure, but, you know, like, as I said before, you change every time you write a new song. If you want it to be regardless of where you are, you know. If you want it to sound different, you just change. That's how you feel at a particular time.
Yeah. Out of the songs you've written, which is your favorite?
I don't know. It's hard to say, because you have different feelings for different songs, you know. I like to play Purple Stage.
Which one, pardon?
I said I like to play
Purple Haze
on stage. But I like the new one. It's the one we just wrote for our next single. I think I like that now, you know.
What's the title?
But we're not allowed to say it yet.
Okay. Is there any plans for an album?
Time you go on stage, even if you might play the same numbers, they're never the same. Because you might feel different.
There's a lot of improvisation.
It's three different people, man. And you play what you feel that night. It's not a planned thing. It's like when we go to record, you know, there's loads of groups that sort of go away and they get a little number and they rehearse it for weeks and weeks. And they look forward to going to the recording studio. And they might put it down perfectly, man, but there's no feeling to that, you know, it's not natural, it's too perfect. Whereas we go in the studio and we get together what we can. And often, quite often, man, it's goose on that record. But that's an actual thing, isn't it? Because you make goose on stage.
Right.
So, you know, why shouldn't you do it on record?
Right.
Funny, it's a natural feeling.
Right. Do you think there's a lot more of this improvisation coming into pop music now? That it's no longer, you know, a rigid thing that it used to be? Somebody writes a little song, and once it's, you know, they write the song, that's the way it is, and it never changes.
I don't know about improvisation, I suppose you could call it that thing. I think it's just that people are being more aware, people are opening their ears at last, and using their imaginations, you know. Instead of, before there were so many people that used to do it exactly as the writer had originally put it down, where they've got no imagination of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Now at last, there's a few people.
Yeah.
There still is a few people.
Hey, Jimmy. When you came back to America for the Monterey Festival, was there anything about the music the American groups were doing that had surprised you since you'd been away? Either a surprise or impressed you?
Well, like, before I left, they was going more on the instrument, you know. And all the groups that I used to like, I never did hear too much about them anymore. There was just different scenes. Like, I used to like groups like Young Rascals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, hard-hitting groups like that, but the West Coast groups are very, very sweet type, you know, and that surprised me, because coming from that area, it seemed like they'd be getting harder and funky.
Even, like, say, the Grateful Dead?
Oh, yes. You know, after hearing their album, you know, it sounds very, all on the same level, like,
yeah.
Like, the Holding Company's very groovy. I like the girl.
Janis Joplin, yeah.
I like to hear her sing. See, they can get nice and pretty if they want, and they could really, you know, bring it out really loud and good altitude. But the average group, man, there's one girl group I heard out there named the Ace of Cups or something like that. And it's really good. You know, it's really good. I like it. Really nice.
Did you do much jamming out of Monterey?
Well, not necessarily Monterey. It was more like around Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I only jammed about two times.
Did you jam with any people from any of the top groups?
Yeah, it was right after the festival closed. We was with some of the Grateful Dead, and I can't remember now, you know, so there's a lot of cats. and we'll jam for about 4 hours straight without stopping at all. You know, just changing instruments as the song kept on going without stopping.
Do you think that, you know, this is, a lot of this is happening on pop music, sort of musicians getting together and jam like they used to do in jazz?
It's getting a little better, yeah. It's getting as a thing like this, like, you know, like the Beatles on the Stones session, maybe it was, you know, Stones on the Beatles session.
Right.
Because like in Malibu, you know, we was going out there to jam sometimes. Like with Buddy Miles, the Electric Flag, you know. And Dave Crosby and Steve Stills. Steve Stills is down here now. He came over, way over here just to jam. He brought about 1,000 guitars with him. And he's running around probably this very minute looking for some place to jam at now. Yeah, man, it's really out of sight.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing when musicians can get together and sort of exchange ideas and things.
Yeah.
But, do you see any direction that the music scene in England is heading toward?
Well, it's definitely, you know, it's getting better and better quality, you know, than what it used to be, you know, like, and, I don't know, man, I think some of the bands over there are, like, better than some of the West Coast bands.
Who are some of the groups in England that have impressed you?
Oh, so they got The Family. This is my own opinion, so, you know, they got this group. Family, and I like to Procol Harum because I've seen a lot of their gigs, you know. I don't go by how they move around, I just go by the sound I hear, you know. And Denny Lane has a very good group together. What is it, Brian Organ? They play, this is, you know, it's a top 40 R&B group, but they're, you know, they're really together, though.
Mm-hmm. I heard that the Procol Harum
song. It's like Donovan's schizophrenia. Doesn't complain about that. Everybody don't have to do a circus act. You know, you should take a person's act for what it is right then, you know.
Right.
Not comparing. Everybody always want to compare all the time, which is nothing but the fattest drag in this whole scene, you know, besides the word pop.
You know, it's not my rock. See, I should get dropped all over the place. How about for yourself or your own plans? Would you like to eventually come back to America? Are you happy with what you're doing in England?
No, not necessarily. I like for us to have it all over the world. But not necessarily live in England, though, you know. Because I get very, very restless wherever I might live, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very restless. You know, I just don't like to stay in one place too long. I don't like to live in one place too long. It really bugs me. It drags me down. Regardless of, you know, what's happened there. Like, I like England's one of the, you know, I lived there for a very long time.
Longer than you've lived any place else?
Yeah, almost. Except New York, you know.
How does London compare with New York City?
I don't know. So the traffic is a little... slightly more confused, you know.
Are you in New York or in London?
In London. But the styles of clothes over there is a little more better. You know, it's better. Everybody has a better sense of dressing. And
they have
a little more open minds, and they're more friendlier than here in New York. New York is one of the coldest cities in the world that I've seen. New York and Paris. I hated Paris.
Do the kids over Europe pretty much like the same kind of music?
Sorry, I didn't catch
the question. Do kids all over Europe like pretty much the same kind of music?
Oh yeah, it varies, man. Like, you know, you get like the Little Monkeys fans.
Yeah.
And 8-year-old kids all over the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's got their own little bag all over the world, you know. But it's been good for us, you know.
When we first started off, we only had about 3 other people's songs that we was going to play. You know, this is the first gig in England. And they said it there, open mouth, and, you know, they didn't know how to accept it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they still listen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. That's one thing I really do, you know. It's like,
they gave
especially
a chance.
Yeah, especially in France, where the music scene is very, very unorthodox, you know, when it comes to all this, you know. And they actually listen too, you know. And it's beautiful, man. It's like on the West Coast, they listen to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that on the West Coast, the people are very critical, but at least they'll listen to a group and give them a fair chance
if
they decide whether they like them or not.
And then you have to cope with the age problem, you know, the different age, like a monkey thing. You can't even consider that, you know.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't add this up saying they don't like you because they just don't know about it right now.
Right.
So you can't.
Right. Well, I think what's happening is there's a lot of different audiences for Poppy. There's the very lowest ones, the kids 6, 7 years old, even that young, 6 years. Because I think, you know, in the beginning, these kids like the Beatles, but the Beatles got disciplined. And you know, the kids that have something else, and along came the monkeys, and they just filled in the void.
Yeah, that's
the
best. I like it.
Right.
Actually, like, they don't know anything about the music, they probably aren't interested.
Right, they just want somebody cute to scream at.
That's the thing that's knocked me out more than anything. It's like, Sunday night is a nice boost for my ego, personally. Like, two chicks run up to the stage to try to get on the stage. Now, you know, we're not known over here to that extent, right? And it means if they do that, it's a spontaneous reaction. So, you know, you've got to accept that once you've had, like, a hit record, a certain percentage of that audience is a fan. Like, they've seen you in photos, and they might idolize you. It's a horrible word, you know, in some ways. And they come to see you because of that. Be you good, bad, or indifferent. So if you get any emotion out of them, man, you know, it's so nice for you. And I can use it when they listen. If they listen to us, and we're doing our own songs, it's crazy that they're listening to our songs, and we haven't been put down like that. We do that thing, wild thing, you know, the Trogs record.
Right.
But like, we do it our own way. Well, be that good, bad, or indifferent, you're going to get a lot of Trogs fans, maybe.
Right.
They're going to say, you're stealing a number.
Right.
It's their number, you know. But they've been listening, and they accept us for what we are, you know, and it's been nice.
Jimmy, what
do
you like to do in, say, 5 years from now?
No, you know, I don't think that way. I have all kinds of millions of things, you know, but every day it changes, you know.
How would have been any things that you haven't done yet that you'd like to accomplish within the very near future?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, like I said before, I have a lot of ambitions, but they always change, you know, constantly. I have a lot of things. I just don't. They have some clubs, you know, and real estate, and some groups. I'm not saying that it's not saying I'm bad, but, you know, we always have different sounds. Every single one of our singles, you know, they sound different to each other, but they still are not our own sound.
Yeah. I think that's a good thing about pop music now, is that, you know, all your records don't have to sound alike. You know, there was a time when the producers and the managers used to really control a group, and they'd say, well, we got to make the next record sound just like the one you did before, so the audience will know who it is, you know.
Well,
I understand.
Just on your merit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
On the B side, I think it was going to be a slight continuation of the A side, but it's in a completely different, you know, form.
That's sort of an extension.
Yeah, it's going to sound something like the A side, but only it's a completely different.
Well,
way.
It's an improvisation on it, or a
slightly
departure from it. You know?
Yeah, it's very slightly. But it doesn't even have the same changes, but it's the same feeling. Which is done intentionally.
See, a couple of things. What are your sort of ambitions? Would you like to go on to do the music business or outside?
Well, of course, we all want to be successful then. But I'm going to own a club in Spain. So it's money to get on the bar club in Spain. Go retire. Live in the club.
I carry on working, like, you know. I want to get, like, the basic, you know, there's no real security to me in life, but I like to get, you know, just want to get a house and things. Once you've got a certain amount of things behind you, then you can dedicate more time to what you want to do. And maybe. It's like, I think the kids are beginning to realise now. It's like, even though people put the Beatles down for what they've been doing, it's like been changing. They don't realise, like, they make their own records now. I mean, all the things they do with tapes and all the effects they use, it costs you a lot of money, man. You're experimenting. Maybe you're getting your own kicks as well. You know, we get our own kicks from mucking around the studio. But, you know, we're not conning the public. It's very easy to go into the studio when you've made a name. I mean, the Beatles could have gone on for years, doing the same 12-bar things, and people would have bought it.
Right.
But, you know, they've progressed in every way, man.
The
main thing is not to underestimate the public. It's a good value. I want to carry on playing.
Well, any conclusion, anything either about yourselves or anything that you would like to have the American audience know about?
Just watch out. Just watch out for us.
Okay.